So describe what happened. How severe was this? And where were you? You were down on the Gulf. You, mandatory evacuation orders came. You left. Fill us in.
Right. My home is located in Orange, Texas, which is right on the Louisiana border, just, say, 20, 25, 30 miles inland from the Gulf of Mexico. And we got mandatory evac orders late Monday, early Tuesday. And being through five major hurricanes over the course of the last 15 years, we heeded those warnings and got out. And the track of Laura was targeted straight up the Sabine River, which is just minutes from my home. They were planning for preparing us for just catastrophic, unimaginable damage, life-threatening damage. Yep. And so we were up near Palestine, Texas, safe, enjoying a beautiful sunny day, just marveling at the miracle that we've experienced overnight, because a slight wobble to the east, yep, was all the difference in the world, from 9 to 16 foot storm surges predicted to, you know, 4 inches of rain. And that was,
wow,
it. And a lot of wind damage, a lot of infrastructure damage. But I tell you, we dodged a huge bullet. And my family and friends, anyone in my news feed is recognizing, yep, that this is just nothing short of a miracle.
I know you have a relative that works with Relevant, and he writes to us today, and he says, I wanted to ask you and the staff to pray for all those who are in the path of this hurricane. And he sent us a message today also thanking God for what has happened. He says, my gratitude to everyone for their prayers, to our great host of intercessors in heaven, and for the protection of our faithful God. Our hometown area was spared the worst of Hurricane Laura overnight as it shifted east. Our prayers go out to those in Lake Charles, Louisiana. And there are others that have received the brunt of this, but we're glad you are safe. When do you get to return home?
Well, the mandatory evacuation has not been lifted. I know my son has headed south, and he just called me from my home and assessing damage and taking photographs. It's all things that can easily be fixed, considering the scope, the size, the projected forecast of the storm. I think it'd be safe to go home when we have a little more infrastructure. We've got widespread power outages. Tens of thousands of people,
right,
are without power with, yeah, 95 degree temperatures. So it's just not safe yet.
We need to continue to pray.
I would say within a week or 10 days or so, we should be able to safely return. Hopefully, that's a best case scenario.
Doctor, you take for granted, don't you, everything you have until it's taken away from you. I mean, really, it's amazing how much you appreciate the safety of your home and everything. And you see how powerful nature can be. So I'm glad you're
safe. There's not a thing you can do but pray.
You got it. Well, we'll continue to pray for you. We'll do that in the days. Thank you for your time. We'll catch up maybe again a little bit later, okay?
Awesome. Y'all have a blessed day, and thank you again for your prayers.
God bless you. They're on their way. We'll continue to pray. I'm joined right now by Mike McGuire, he's chief meteorologist. He was, I should say. He now uses his skills to in the commodities market, but he served as chief meteorologist at WEHT-TV in Evansville, Indiana. He's been a regular contributor here to us, giving us coverage of so many of these natural events that are unfolding. And he joins us once again. And Michael, unbelievable weather. Good to have you here with us today. Yeah, 133 mile-per-hour wind gust, 85-mile-an-hour sustained winds when it came ashore. And there have been, I think, four fatalities as of the time I walked into the studio, including a 14-year-old girl who died when a tree fell in her family house. But I wanted to ask you something. There were reports that come from weather officials, and they warned of, and I never heard this, maybe you did, of an unsurvivable storm surge. I've never saw those words used. What did they mean, and can you explain that?
That's the first time I've heard it, too. That verbiage, at least, that they obviously wanted to stress how dangerous this situation was and didn't want people to try to survive it.
Yep.
They wanted them to get the heck out. And because it was a high threat, life-threatening situation. And if you'd asked me 24 hours ago if we would have had an outcome this good, I would never have imagined. So our prayers were answered, Drew, and it had to do with the track of the storm going farther to the east. I was filled with joy listening to the confirmation words from your guest.
Yep.
indicating exactly what it looked like happened, which was she's along the Texas-Louisiana border north of Port Arthur, Texas, and the storm was predicted to hit there where there's a lot of people. Instead, it tracked farther, about 50 miles farther to the east, and hit around Cameron, Louisiana. And then the right side of the storm is always the most vicious with the highest winds. It's called the dirty side of the storm. Well, from Cameron up to Lake Charles is around 50 miles, and it's nothing but flat land, and it's unpopulated marshland.
Wow,
so it clobbered the marshes where not very many people were living. That's where the highest wind gusts of Cameron had 127 mile an hour. And then Lake Charles, which is 50 miles north of the coast, had 134 mile an hour wind. So you know between Lake Charles and Cameron, there probably were higher gusts than 134, but it's marshland. Yeah. So it was the perfect location for a Category 4 hurricane to hit.
So what's this mean for the rest of the country now? I know when you're dealing with Cat 4 and 3 and two-level storms, very serious. But the storm is not over yet. The rest of the country is going to have a taste of it. What can they expect?
So far, there's been about 700,000 people without power in Louisiana, Texas. There still will be some more power outages from Laura, which is downgraded now in the last 2 hours to a tropical storm with winds less than 70 mile an hour. It's moving into southwestern Arkansas, but it's tracking fast. The good news with that is we've lessened the heavy rain, so there hasn't been any flooding issues, which typically take place with a slow-moving tropical system. This one is just booking, and it's going to move at 20 mile an hour across Arkansas tonight and then across Kentucky tomorrow. Now, what happens, it's going to remain, some of its circulation will be remaining, and it'll be going around at 30 mile an hour, but the forward speed will, to the right of the storm, will add to that circulation. So a 30-mile-an-hour wind becomes a 47-mile-an-hour, 50-mile-an-hour wind in Kentucky tomorrow. So, but the rains won't be a problem, 1 to 2 inches of rain, but some wind gusts probably approaching 50-mile-an-hour or greater across Kentucky on Friday, and then all the way to the East Coast by Saturday in the mid-Atlantic states, where they'll still have a risk of 40 or 50 mile an hour wind gusts. Then it could possibly re-intensify a little bit in the western Atlantic and cause some high surf and gusty winds in the northeast late in the weekend. But no major problems other than the strong gusts of wind above 50 to above in Arkansas into Kentucky over the next 2 days.